We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, entering the last weekend of the season. And it looks like the Yankees have secured home field in the wild card. Their magic number is... Their magic number to secure home field.
Did you just do that?
Did I just do what?
That they've secured it, locked up, that's it? Have you not been paying attention this year?
I'm calling it. Because their magic number to secure home field is two. Their magic number to make the wild card game is one. But the Orioles just did the Yankees a massive favor.
Huge favor.
This week. I mean, shout out Baltimore Orioles. Thank you very much.
Did you see they put out a tweet. It was pretty funny. It's that meme that's been around for a while of the kid like playing music at the top of a balcony with like three people down there cheering him on, and they just had the logos of all the people in the wild card, the Baltimore Orioles.
Well, the Baltimore Orioles have had perhaps the biggest impact on the playoff race over the past few years, because whoever mops the floor with Baltimore wins the division, and now they're basically dictating who's going to be in the wild card, because they played well against Boston this week. And I think they could also ruin Toronto's time this weekend. So that's Baltimore just in the thick of it with the AL wildcard race. But yeah, I'm calling it, because the Yankees have put themselves in a position. They did that with the sweep in Boston, and then winning the series in Toronto, I think, put Toronto far enough behind them. Boston and Seattle just out of nowhere. Like, oh, the Mariners.
I said, hey, keep your eye on Seattle. I said this a couple weeks ago.
I don't understand what's going on out in the Pacific Northwest. They have a negative run differential, yet they are tied for the second wild card spot. But we will talk about all the wild card possibilities in the look forward section. This is Friday Fives, so I want to do five takeaways. Clear and away, the number one takeaway as we sit here on Friday, October 1st, is Gerrit Cole doesn't look right. And he hasn't looked right since he basically shoved the bats down the Anaheim Angels' throats, which I had called at the time one of his best performances of the season, because it broke up that Yankees mini four-game losing streak after they had the long winning streak. But since that moment, he has a 6.15 ERA and a 5.14 FIP in five starts. He's had three horrendous starts, one of which was the game against Toronto when he had his hamstring pop up. But also bad outing versus Cleveland and another bad outing versus Toronto. And then his other two starts have been average, in my opinion, Baltimore and Boston. I didn't think the Boston outing last weekend was anything special. He's had a swing and miss issue, which is a problem. And it leads me to believe, I don't know what else we can believe other than the fact that he's not 100% healthy. He's saying he's 100% healthy, but he's not pitching like a guy who's 100% healthy.
No, he's not. When you're not getting the swings and misses, that means, you know, one, you're, I mean, last night he was in the zone more. He didn't have any walks, whereas the start before that, you know, clearly if Gerrit Cole's not over the plate, he's a different guy. But they were making a lot of contact. They were getting to him, which, yeah, they're jumping on the, on his pitches. So he's not, there's no deception. He's not able to ride his fastball and then work.
He's
off
not
of
even
that
a guy that works
pitches.
Off deception. He's a guy that works off of my stuff is unhittable.
Right. But when you're not, I'm saying more for the three walk appearance, when you're not in over the plate, then it's a different animal completely. Cause you don't have to do the same things. You don't have to worry about him getting ahead in the count and then the batters being in a bad spot. But even last night, he was throwing strikes. He was just being hit. He was hittable. And that's a bigger problem than even not having your location, because the location just changes the way that you have, you know, that you approach your start or the way that you approach your at-bat. It's your strategy essentially going into an at-bat. If you're just hittable and there's nothing that's, you know, either your stuff is good or it's deceiving or whatever it looks like, that's a bigger problem. And that's what we saw last night. And that, I mean, a much better offense, obviously, but, or two nights ago, yeah. Much better offense, but still, him being hittable is bad.
It's been a trend with him all season. He has not pitched well against the AL East opponents that the Yankees have been chasing all year, the Rays, the Red Sox, and the Blue Jays. But look at the four-seam whiff percentage numbers I took from Brooks Baseball. In his most recent start, 7%, and in a start against Boston, 6%. And then against Cleveland, actually, the game he didn't pitch well was 14%. His previous outing was 13%. And then if you compare that to numbers when he was pitching really well in August, it was up 17%, 14%, and then the Anaheim start was 30%, which is just laughable. No one's going to have that. But he's a guy that usually lives in the 15 to 18% range, and now he's at the 6 and 7% range. That's a massive difference.
Look, I think that I'm also looking at these numbers from his last start. If you look at going back to the numbers that you have in the notes here against Toronto, so from 9-7 until Wednesday night when he pitched, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 outings.
Five outings.
Two walks, three walks, one walk, three walks, zero walks. This is a guy that didn't walk.
Look at the strikeouts, too. Look at the strikeouts, 6-6, 7-7, 2. Okay, his strikeout, that's not a good ratio.
No, I know that. That's more to my point. When I'm seeing that, you know, there's no walks and he was just getting a lot of contact the other night, it's like he was effectively trying to throw the ball over the plate more and limiting that control. And when he was over the plate, he was hittable. Whereas some of these other times, he's recognized that he's not over the plate. The mechanics are not there. You know, whether it has to do with anything, grip on the ball, it's getting cooler, who knows? There's something going on here where he's trying to compensate, it looks like, for something that's not going right for him. And for over the last five starts, his control has not been good. And then you see that he doesn't walk anybody and then he's hittable. That's bad. That's a bad sign.
It was a really bad outing on Wednesday it was a must-win game, basically. Had the Yankees won that game, who knows, maybe then we are actually talking about them having secured home field and I couldn't jinx them at that point. But in my opinion, that was a must-win game and he was bad. How do you feel about him going into what will actually be a must-win game, a wild card game? I still am confident he's not going to suck. I don't think he's going to get bounced in the second or third inning. But if he's just okay and it's 5 1/3 innings, 3 runs, that's not going to be good enough in a wild card game.
No, this is why Masahiro Tanaka's not on this team. We need to see him in a wild card game. Like, to me, the beginning of this game and his presence out there is going to say a lot about what he is. If he's peppering the zone and you're seeing some movement and he's effective, then I think that you know, he's locked in. But again, when you're looking at Wednesday, when you're over the plate and you're hittable, that's a problem. He should not be as hittable as he is when he's over the plate, because that's when Gerrit Cole is going very well. He blows fastballs by people. He's just that good. He's controlling the entire at-bat. If we see that early on from him, then you know you're getting Gerrit Cole, because what that does early in the game is going to change, you know, whoever we're playing, the mindset of the batter, where they have to be more aggressive. And when you're more aggressive earlier in the count, a lot of times against Gerrit Cole, you can fall behind, and then that's a recipe for bad news for an offense against him. So I think we're going to see what he is in that first two innings. But I mean, so obviously that's the guy you want on the mound.
Well, obviously, but like rank it 1 to 10, your confidence level with Cole on the mound in the wild card right now.
Right now, it's probably a 6.
Yeah, 5.5, 6 is what I was thinking. It should be a 9 or a 10 with Gerrit Cole. Like, that's the whole season, ever since we realized this team's not going to win the AL East, the whole season has been based on, we have Gerrit Cole in the wild card game, and that's going to be better than the other team, so let's just get there. And right now, that's not better than the other team. He's not been pitching better than the other team for a month.
Yeah. And, you know, for that game, it's going to be, we'll see how it lines up. But you made an interesting point when we were talking before the show, too. It's like the people that are, the teams that are going to be there, one of the teams that we're going to play, the worry is not necessarily on the pitching side, but it's on the offense. It's on an offense going really well. If Toronto's
Boston
offense
and Toronto, who have both
and Boston's
hit,
offense is in a groove, like that's going to be effective.
Cole recently.
Right. But yeah, we'll see. If he, again, I think him starting out of the gates strong is going to be massively important for that.
Yeah, my point earlier, just so everyone is aware, was that I don't really care who starts for Boston or Toronto against the Yankees. Like, I know Robbie Ray's probably going to win the Cy Young. I think Cole has pitched himself out of the Cy Young with these last 5 starts. And
Robbie Ray tried to last night.
He tried to, but that's only 1 start. Flip a coin though, Ryu or Robbie Ray. Like, do you care? I don't really care who's pitching that game.
I actually think Ryu is probably. I mean, he's the guy that I would rather not see because
he's just like trickier and craftier.
He's more of a he's got that crafty veteran. I could see him just like completely nutting up.
He's pitched in World Series games before with the Dodgers and stuff. Right. Yeah, I could see that happen. And with the Red Sox, the Yankees finally have hit Nathan Eovaldi the last couple times out, and Chris Sale is a shell of himself right now. So I don't know. Flip a coin there as well. I'm more worried about those offenses. And when you're talking about if there needs to be a play-in game, which is possible for Red Sox, the Blue Jays, or the Mariners, that certainly benefits the Yankees because those teams have to travel. They're tired. Their bullpens are tired. But it's not like you're erasing a Justin Verlander or a Max Scherzer from the equation where it's like, oh, now we clearly have the advantage.
No, but I think what you just said, what it does is it gets into the bullpens. It gives you all of...
That's probably the biggest benefit is the bullpens.
For sure.
The travel and the team being tired is not really a factor because momentum outweighs any of that.
You just amp up. Yeah, the adrenaline kicks in and you're good. Like you can be tired later.
You crush some greenies in a large cold brew and you are good to go.
Right. No, you're right. It's the bullpen is definitely like whatever happens in those in a play-in game. If a bullpen is taxed, like let's say starting pitchers get knocked out early because offenses do shine in a game like that, you get into the bullpen early, then the Yankees are in a much better position here, especially because the starting pitchers don't necessarily scare us on the other side. But if the Yankees are in a bullpen position earlier, if our bullpen's hurt too, like the Yankees offense should absolutely jump all over them. So it just puts the Yankees offense in a much better position.
Number 2, Jameson Taillon's season's probably over. He re-aggravated his right ankle injury after just 7 outs against the Blue Jays. Oddly though, they haven't placed him on the IL. I don't get it. I don't see him pitching again this year. If he comes back and then immediately has to leave again with a re-aggravated ankle injury. But I don't know. Give a reaction to Taillon's first season in pinstripes.
We saw what he could, what the potential is. I think that we saw what a lot of scouts saw and what the Yankees organization saw in Jameson Taillon and what he could be. So I think it was positive, and for the most part, when he was healthy, he pitched well. The first half of the season, into the middle of June, like the guy, again, I believe he was making sure he was healthy, getting back into that groove. Like it's really hard to look at that and take anything away from it. But, once he found that the body's reacting in the way that I want to, he can, bust out the whole repertoire of his pitching. I think we saw good things. Injuries got re-aggravated again. And that's where he, He's a good pitcher when healthy, okay? The Yankees are a good baseball team when healthy. I don't know what that means.
They've been largely healthy this year, though.
Right. Well, that's true. But, okay, especially let me break Stanton it down even
Judge.
Further.
I mean, right now, Stanton and Judge have been carrying the Yankees offense, and especially Aaron Judge. I mean, the man came to play last night.
My God.
With the two home runs and the diving catch. And obviously,
can anybody even talk about that narrative of him not being clutch anymore? Can they just fuck well, off they all w- of them?
If he goes 0 for 4 in the wild card game, then it'll pop so back stupid. Up again.
The guy is just like ready for the big moment. And I want him up over absolutely anybody.
And Stanton had the monster weekend at Fenway Park. And right now, those two guys are carrying the offense and they're healthy, which is exactly what we have been waiting for, is both of those guys healthy, playing well at the same time, because they are unlike any other players in baseball when those things are both true. What were you talking about before? Oh, Jameson Taillon. If I had to use one word to describe his season, I would say it was outstanding.
Oh, gosh.
A little callback to Michael Kay's description of his first ever outing with the Yankees, which I believe he went 3 2/3 innings.
I mean, when we're looking at what he did in the stretch where he got very hot and he was the Yankees' best pitcher. One, the Yankees needed it in that stretch. So
that stretch was 4 starts.
It was very good timing. It was more than 4 starts.
I'm kind of being hard on time. It was an actual word to use is encouraging. How about that?
That's a good word. I like that word. I think for him as personally and for us as a fan base, looking at what he can be, as a number of these guys, it boils down to his health and if he can stay healthy. And the ankle's like it's kind of a weird thing, right?
But that's a concern. I mean, health is certainly encouraging for what he can be next year. But again, it's like, is he just an injury guy? Is this James Paxton 2.0? Yeah. When he's healthy and pitching, he's pretty good, but he's going to get injured because he's always been injured. Like, is that what Jameson Taillon is? Is he a right-handed James Paxton? I don't know. Time will tell.
Well, I think time has told that he does get injured quite a bit. So it's a matter of if he can come back in a full year after a relatively productive season. But encouraging is the good word. I like what I've seen from him. What makes it difficult when you have a starting rotation of 5 is when you have a number of guys who have proven to be injury guys. It's very difficult to plan that. It's very difficult to make sure you have 7 or 8
starters.
Because you need, you can only have really 5 starters in the major leagues. Everything else has to come from what's happening in AAA at that point too. And, you know, maybe you can hide a couple guys in the bullpen that can be stretched out, but that rotation is set in the beginning of the year, and your pitching staff is set in the beginning of the year. And unless you're making a trade in the middle of the year, there's not a lot you can do unless you have depth in the minor leagues.
Number 3, Johnny Loaisiga is back. He pitched an inning on Wednesday. Boone said they're going to avoid using him in multi-inning situations. A corresponding move was the Yankees optioned Andrew Heaney to the Florida Complex League. I guess he still had options left. And then on the broadcast that night, on the Yes broadcast, Meredith reported that, quote, the Yankees still believe in Andrew Heaney. And when she said that, I yelled out, why? Why do they still believe in this man? But they do. As this relates to the Yankees bullpen, though, so Loaisiga probably not going to be a multi-inning guy, at least for the next, at least for
the season.
Well, I don't know. Maybe if the Yankees playoffs continue and they make an ALCS, maybe he could be a multi-inning guy by then. But for what we're concerned about, the wild card game, and the farthest you can look ahead is an ALDS, is that he's not going to be a multi-inning guy. And Luis Severino, who I thought was going to be a multi-inning guy, but seems like they're now converting to a one-inning guy, because if you remember, Severino came back and they said he's not going to be stretched out, but he was up to like 40 pitches in the minor leagues. And then his pitch totals in his 4 appearances with the Yankees since returning is 30, 37, 15, and 16. So he's going down, not up.
Well, he's also been effective. But he's also been very effective in the position.
Changes what we thought Severino was going to be used as. I thought he was going to be used as multi-inning reliever, 2 to 3 innings, couple days off, 2 to 3 innings. But now it seems like he's going to be used as like an 8th inning guy. And if he takes over the eighth inning over Chad Green, I'm totally fine with that. Okay. I know Chad Green had an effective eighth inning last night, but Chad Green still scares me right now. And Luis Severino hasn't allowed a run since he came back. And I know it's only four appearances, so it's small sample size, but he looks pretty damn good. So
did someone say that they're not making him a two inning guy anymore? Did Boone come out and say that?
You're just looking
at the pitches. So I think a lot of
and how many innings he's pitched. If their plan is to continue to stretch Luis Severino out, they're not doing that.
Okay, I think originally I thought that maybe he was going to, if he's starting at two, that he could stretch out beyond two. But I think that they're pretty much putting him at a cap at two. I think that's where it is. I think it's situationally, the numbers have gone down, and he's been pitching really well, so he hasn't needed as many to get through the time that he's there. So I think that is going into it. But you could stretch a guy out or keep him at that same amount, you know, through bullpen sessions, throwing a little bit more afterwards in the tunnel. You could do a number of things to keep his arm in a position to be throwing two innings. It doesn't need to throw two innings every single time.
I don't know. Maybe I envisioned a scenario like he's a two inning guy, and then if the Yankees make it deep into October, he becomes a four or five inning guy. But maybe that's just unrealistic.
Yeah, I mean that was kind of my pipe dream in the beginning too, but it doesn't seem like that's happening.
Number four is that Wednesday's game I thought was just a really bad loss all around. Again, Cole got hit hard. The careless mistakes still are happening with this team. So the Yankees made it a two-run game. Cole's still on the mound in the fifth inning, and the leadoff batter hits a pop-up into short left field. And Gallo and Gio's playing shortstop, they just converge, and the ball just drops in front of Joey Gallo. And that's a play that he just has to catch. Like, he just has to come in, and you're the left fielder running in on a ball. You catch the ball, Gallo. And I know he dropped the pop-up at Fenway. LeMahieu dropped the pop-up at Fenway. There's all these – the Yankees let a foul ball drop in up on the right field line. I think it was Thursday's game. Maybe it was Wednesday's game where it just, like, fell in back of Rizzo. Yeah, that was like Rizzo ran over. It's like, why can't you guys catch pop-ups anymore?
I mean, Vlad Guerrero can't catch a pop-up either. So if it's happening It's happening to multiple people across the league. I don't know. At this point, it is what it is. I feel like fundamentals aren't going to get any better at this point. So I just hope they can catch the ball and field.
No, but I still know it's going to be their downfall. That's annoying me. It's like, if you make it to the ALDS, you're going to face Tampa. And if you don't play fundamentally perfect baseball, you will lose.
Okay. Well, one day at a time here. One, as Boomer would say,
my dad said
one shift at a time.
First of all, my dad had an all-time text. Did you see this text from my dad? Last night I tweeted it. He said, it may be my favorite text of all time from my dad. Last night, he says, it's painful watching Gary Sanchez play a sport he obviously sucks at.
Brutal.
He's just totally brutal. Off the Gary Sanchez bandwagon.
I don't think he's ever been on it.
Gallo had some good news with his x-ray on his forearm that it was negative. So I don't know, maybe they hold him out a couple more games. Voit was placed back on the injured list. There's the fourth injured list stint for him this year. His season's done, obviously. He didn't play for a week. So he didn't play from September 22nd until he pinch hit the other night against Toronto. They're saying he injured his knee, re-aggravated his knee in the pinch hitting appearance. That's convenient, I guess. Maybe he did. But like, why hadn't he played in over a week?
Because there's no explanation because Rizzo was playing and it didn't,
yeah, I know,
the stars didn't align with the way, one of the Giants were playing the outfield or not playing the outfield so that Voit could come in there. It just
no pinch hitting opportunities.
Clearly Rizzo is the guy that they want out there.
Like, fine. That's what I wanted. I'd rather have Rizzo out there because offensively they've been basically the same and defensively it's not even close.
Yeah. So. That's it. It gives them the balance in the lineup, which everybody knows the Yankees love.
LeMahieu has left the game on Thursday with right hip soreness. He had the MRI on his hip recently, said he's been dealing with this for a while. This is really bad news for the Yankees. If we're going into the wild card game and LeMahieu's at like 60%, this is horrible timing.
Yeah, it's coming to a head at a bad spot for sure. So hopefully he can a little bit of R&R and some Ben Gay, get some get some key massages, some little Ben Gay rub down, get him back in the game. He's a gamer, so I'm hoping they can numb it and he can just, does a cortisone shot help in there in that hip area? Maybe it depends on, I guess, what the actual injury is. I don't know.
Pain wise, but if the hip, if it's like a strength issue, then that's kind of a bigger problem, right?
Yeah. We'll see. He needs to tweak the robot until he's, after the season and then figure it out.
Maybe he just needs to.
And you know that's what he's trying to do. You know that's what he's trying to do. He's just like, he's the Ronnie Lott mentality. I'll cut off my pinky to play the game right now. And I love that. Clearly, if it's too much and he's got to get pulled, like that's not good for him.
Well, maybe he just needs to stare at Bronxy the Turtle some more. Did you see yes. the story?
Yeah, I love it. And I love the fact that Nestor Cortez is the guy. The shirt that those guys made for him with the where he's looking like a Mario brother, adopts a turtle. This is all perfect.
Yeah, the good luck turtle. So no, but like in the story, I think MLB.com wrote the story. There was a line in there that said, DJ LeMahieu apparently just spends minutes staring at the turtle.
It makes a lot of sense. They probably talk to each other through telepathy. There's an understanding there with the way that the turtle is. Wouldn't be surprised if Kluber's also staring at the turtle and speaking in a different tongue that nobody understands, or just mental telepathy to the turtle. Yeah, this all checks out.
It's like I imagine LeMahieu. I imagine LeMahieu is a no nonsense guy, so I imagine him when he heard about Bronxy and saw Bronxy, he was just like, his initial reaction was like, well, this is stupid. And then he just started like getting mesmerized by the turtle and then he couldn't look away. And it's like, that's why he just stares at it for minutes. Because
he's studying the motions of the turtle.
Goes to a Zen place.
He wants to understand why the turtle is and what the turtle does in the existence of said turtle. No, I like it. He's breaking it down in his mind.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Well, we kind of did this already, but looking ahead to what could possibly happen with the wild card. Again, the Yankees are two up on the Mariners and the Red Sox, and they're three up on Toronto. The tiebreaker scenarios are insane. So there's an article posted on MLB.com on all the different possible outcomes. And there's like if two teams or three teams tie for it, the teams are assigned. If three teams tie, they're assigned like designation A, B, and C. And then based on your record against those teams, you choose if you want to who you play, basically. There's all different crazy scenarios. Luckily for the Yankees, I think they're going to avoid it. But would you like to see, what would you like to see happen? Would you like to see there be a three-way tie, a two-way tie? Is there a team right now you would most want to face, least want to face in the wild card game?
I think that some of the pitching on honestly, Seattle is worries me the most because the Yankees haven't seen them as much. And we know when a guy is thrown in against the New York Yankees that isn't a hard throwing guy, has a little bit of a tricky repertoire arsenal, if you will, then the Yankees can sometimes struggle off of a guy like that. So I could see a number of these Mariners pitchers coming in here and giving fits to the Yankees because they give a very different look. And I think they do. Whereas, you know, the Yankees know what they're getting against Toronto and Boston. These are known quantities. Seattle.
How are they winning baseball games? I don't understand how they're winning baseball games. I'm looking at the leaderboards right now. Seattle's pitching staff is eighth in the American League with a 4.24 ERA.
What are they over the last month? What are they over the last 2 months? Like, that's, to me, like, don't look at the whole season. Look at what's going on in the last month.
When do you want to make the cutoff? Because I think they've been on a surge for basically 2 months. So let's call it
the All-Star
August
break.
1st.
Or post-season.
Yeah.
Post the trade deadline is what I meant.
Okay.
Yeah, August 1st. That's fine.
They just
have a team.
They're seventh in the American League, 4.21 or 3.87 ERA, 4.21 FIP in that time. Yeah. So better, but like, I don't know. I don't know anything about the Seattle Mariners. Like, hand up, fully admit it. The Yankees have played them. They've played them well this year. The Yankees are 5-2 against the Mariners this year. I don't know when the last time they played them. I think it was a long time ago. I don't know shit about the Mariners.
I've been hurt before by that team in the postseason, and I don't want to see them again. The Seattle Mariners and the New York Yankees, to me, is oil and water. They need to mow them down if it's the case. I still blame them for Don Mattingly. I don't like it. And they do have some tricky shit with a couple of their pitchers that I don't think matchups great.
So the Yankees have played well against every non-AL East opponent this year. It's the AL East that has given them trouble this year, okay? They are 9-10 against Boston.
Not recently.
I mean, Toronto just swept them.
Well, they just took 2 of 3.
A week and a half ago.
They literally just took 2 of 3. Fine. And the one before that, they swept them. The Yankees swept Toronto.
I would much rather face Seattle. I feel way more confident facing Seattle than either Boston or Toronto.
I think if I'm choosing one, I hate choosing this because it's like you're asking for pain at that point. But the team I want to face the least, I go that way. It's not Seattle. The trickiness of the pitching does worry me a little bit, but the Yankees should be able to figure it out. The team I want to face the least is Toronto.
Yeah, because I think their offense is the best, and they've most recently just had Garrett Cole.
Definitely the most potent, most ability to put a lot of runs on you very fast. I mean, the Red Sox do as well, but I think they manage that offense a little bit better. I think the Toronto Blue Jays are just stacked, and Marcus Semien destroys us. And they have top to bottom guys who can destroy you.
And the fact that it looks like it's going to be at Yankee Stadium, also, I think, I would rank them. Least want to face Toronto, then Boston, then Seattle. I'll face Seattle any day of the week. I don't care. Boston, I wouldn't feel great about going into it because it's still the Red Sox in a one-game do-or-die playoff game, and like that's just going to get the juices flowing. And Toronto, I think, definitely scares me for the reasons you just said, the offense. But I would like to see – I want chaos, right? Some men want to just watch the world burn.
Yeah.
I would like to see a three-way
tie. You're definitely
tie.
One of them. As long as it's not your world burning.
So if there's a three-way tie, obviously two games need to be played.
If you're asking me what scenario for the other people, I want absolute complete chaos, three games, three-team tie, two games. You got to figure this out. Unload all the things that you have to do so that you can come to the Bronx and play. Come to us wounded. Come to us with your bullpen shattered after playing two games. Absolutely. That's exactly what I would want to.
Can I read you something from this article real quick? Scenario, 3-4 teams tie for one wild card spot. Now we're talking. And as of writing this, it's still a possibility. In the three-team tie, we'd have to have the three teams choose and receive their A, B, and C designations, with club C traveling to face the winner of the game between clubs A and B to determine who advances to the one-game wild card game. Yes, please. That means there's two games. One on Monday, one on Tuesday. AL wild card game gets bumped probably to Wednesday. Chaos, baby. give me chaos.
And the fact that you have to choose your opponents is just such an interesting, like, masochist piece of this as well.
No. You don't choose. You're assigned designations. You don't
assign designations, and then there's just the ability to get more bulletin board material.
Yeah. So that would be, I think, that would be great for baseball, obviously, because it's just like, and also, you know, it would be interesting to see how teams manage that. But anyway, that's what I'm rooting for, is the Blue Jays, the Red Sox, and the Mariners to tie for that second wild card spot. And the Yankees to not have to do anything too strenuous over the weekend, right? We don't have to see Gerrit Cole pitch on Sunday to secure home field advantage. Do you think they will, by the way? This is a good question.
No, I don't. So I don't think they will do that.
Sunday against the Rays. The Yankees
go back to the Yankees' record at home during the playoffs. It's not good. It's not something to look at and to make any. You got to walk into the game knowing that you're in the playoffs, healthy and ready to go. That's it. That's the number one priority. You're not lining up anything. Because also, think about this. The wildcard game's on Tuesday. But if there's this three-team playoff and they got to play all these games, does the schedule get pushed?
I believe it does. It would have to get pushed. They're not going to play a doubleheader in the playoffs.
Right. So it has to get pushed. So there's more time that you don't even know about. You can't control. You have no idea what's going to happen. So what are you doing at that point? You can't set people up. You can't. You make sure you're healthy walking out of that game, that last game. That's it. That's you do as much as you possibly can for that for that objective, and don't get cute. And no, you don't make it a priority to throw a guy that you want to be in a do or die game to try to secure a home field advantage. You just don't do that.
What
about the chips fall? You let the chips fall where they may. You put out there, and everybody obviously tries to win that game as best they can, but you don't rearrange things.
But you're not just what if you're not just trying to secure home field? You're trying to secure not having to play play-in games for the play-in game.
I mean, that's possible. At that point, you're going beyond. You're getting completely wild and tricky.
Because let me throw this scenario at you. The Yankees are...
It's a risk. It's a risk if you do that. It's a big risk if you do
Sunday,
that.
The Yankees are a game up on Boston, Seattle, and Toronto, or some combination of those teams. If they lose and those other teams win, they now get bumped down to the tie.
Right.
So, yes, you're right. It's like, well, we're still in even if we lose. But if we are in that, if we lose, now we're in the clusterfuck. Now we're in the chaos. We don't want to be in the chaos. We want to be watching the chaos on TV.
Yeah, I don't think that you can rearrange anything for that scenario because, one, you don't know walking into that day what the scenario is going to be.
Yes, so you will. You'll know.
You'll know that day.
You'll know after Saturday.
Right. So what are you saying? If Cole's lined up for Sunday, do you throw him?
No. Cole is not lined up for Sunday, but he can
right.
pitch
so you're
on
saying
Sunday.
That you would pitch him early. Cole, the guy who has not pitched well, you'd pitch him early on Sunday. I don't know what you're going to do to line up anything for a Sunday game anyway.
No, he would be pitching on 4 days rest.
Right. Why would you do that? That would be dumb. There's nothing saying that's a better.
I just told you why you would do that. So you don't have to play potentially two play-in games to get into the one-game wild card.
And my point back to you is that what in God's green earth is telling you that that is a better scenario, having Gerrit Cole pitch on 4 days rest, a guy who has struggled in his last 5 to 6 starts? Why pitching him early is going to give you an advantage in that particular game to not get into a mess of a scenario? Why do you
because
think that
who's the other, who's
throwing,
gonna pitch instead? Who's gonna pitch
anybody?
Instead?
I mean, any of these guys are effectively could do it. You have a tight leash. You have your bullpen ready to go if possible. And
all right,
you approach the game as a
what if there's
a potential playoff game, but you don't throw Gerrit Cole on 4 days rest.
Four teams tie for the two wild card spots. How about that? Would you root?
That's
for
actually
that
less confusion though, right? Because you just play. It's still the same amount of games.
If the Yankees, Red Sox, Blue Jays, and Mariners were all wind up tied,
yeah,
for the
they just
spots,
play each other, and then the winners play each other.
No, there's a multi tournament on our hands. The clubs would choose. / receive their A, B, C, and D designations. On Monday, Club A would host Club B, and Club C would host Club D. The winners of those two games would be the wild card teams and have to face each other. That's actually less chaos than if there's
That's what I'm
teams.
Saying. Yeah, it makes it more clean.
I don't want that. I want three teams.
Three teams makes it weird.
All right. That's going to wrap it up. We will talk to you. So the weekend obviously depends on what happens over the weekend will dictate what we do for our next episodes. Regardless, we're going to be doing an episode if the Yankees are in the wild card game. But we also want to do season-ending grades. So that will probably be recorded on Sunday at some point and released. And then if the Yankees are in the chaos, we'll obviously have to talk about that, do an episode for that. But hopefully we are sitting back with our feet up, waiting to see who the Yankees play in the wild card game, in which case we will record once we know who they're going to be playing. Anything else you want to say, Scott?
I just hope the Yankees still play well in Tampa. I don't want to forget about the fact that Tampa is still in front of us, and they do need to win some games there. If Tampa, has any kind of, inkling to try to take us out, they could if they wanted to. So they got to play. You can't look forward into the wild card without beating the Rays, and that's no small task.
All right. We will talk to you guys whenever we know what's going to happen.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.